Mungle Show.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Tired of boringly pompous?
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Stuffed shirt movie critics?
You people are so petty and tiny.
Want something fun and untucked?
I would cite regulation, but I know you will simply ignore it.
It's fast, fun, and frolicking.
I love it. I've got chills.
Now, here is your modern, informed, relevant, and humble host.
I feel like I should say something smart.
I'm not a baby, I'm a man.
Well, welcome to this week's very special show. Matt Mungle, Brian Kruger, hanging out with you. Of course, find me at mungleshow.com. You can find Brian over at boomstickcomics.com. Plus, at High Def Digest and all of his really cool podcasts, which I'm sure we're going to be talking about later on in the show, a very special event that happened last Sunday that I actually partook of as well. And so I want to see if we line up on this.
I really want you just to admit and come out and say it.
We're talking about wrestling, obviously. First of all, looking at the weekend box office, anything surprise you this week?
I'm actually a little surprised that Annabelle Creation didn't hold number one. I mean, I know the Hitman's Bodyguard came out and said it's fun and all of that good stuff, but I thought Annabelle Creation was going to keep on number one, really.
Yeah, I mean, Hitman's Bodyguard didn't win by much. I mean, it's his first week out, it grossed $24.1 million. Annabelle had $15.6 million, so it only missed it by $6 million, which is close for week two. And I think just the draw of Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson, those two together in a buddy comedy like this, I'm not too surprised.
All right.
Now,
all right.
If something like Logan Lucky would have been first, or Nutjob 2 would have jumped up there a little higher, I'd have been a little surprised. But yeah, having seen both Hitman's Bodyguard and Annabelle Creation twice, two totally different audiences, but I can see how one would be a little bit more user-friendly, I think, to your normal average moviegoer. So other than that, I mean, just looking at this list, I mean, if I just had been out of town for 3 or 4 weeks and I came back in and said, hey, I got to go see some movies, I don't know if there's much on here I would choose from the top 10 list.
I'm curious. So Baby Driver is number 19 with being in theaters for 16 weeks right now.
Right.
But I read that they're like putting it back in theaters. So as of last week, it was in like maybe a little over 650 theaters around the country, but with an extra boost of maybe, you know, double that, it might move up in the top five, maybe. What do you think? I think people want to see it or see it again or see it for the first time.
When we look at what else is coming out, that's a perfect move by them to release Baby Driver now again, because, I mean, we have films like Leap coming out, which the family's going to go see, and maybe the kids will see, because there's really no competition. And just the buzz that was around Baby Driver when it did come out and people are hearing about it. And I know most people who saw it in the theater will go back and see it a second time. So not only will they get new butts in the seat, but they're going to probably get some returning people who would just want to witness that again on the big screen because it was so fun. So I think it's a smart move, and I can really see it jumping up.
You're jumping up right now for joy of Baby Driver. I know it's your favorite show.
I am. It's still in my top three films of the year. Maybe pushing number one so far.
All right. I've got a question for you.
Okay.
So as of right now, Spider-Man has made $315 million and Wonder Woman has made $404 million. Does Spider-Man have a chance to break the $404 million mark?
The fact that it only got $4 million and it's $100 million behind, if you do the math, it would take, well, I can't really do math, so I don't know why I'm not doing math. It would just take a lot of weeks. 25 weeks, averaging what it is. So no, to answer your question before we get out of this break, no, it won't catch Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman's going to surpass it. We're maybe going to talk a little bit more about that in the next segment, because that's a good question. Plus other news right here on the show. We'll be right back.
This is The Mungle Show. This is The Mungle Show.
And we're back. Brian Kruger, myself, and the devilishly handsome Matthew Matthias Mungle. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy.
Doing well. We're so glad to be here this week again, bringing you all the movie entertainment news. We're talking about if Spider-Man Homecoming is going to beat Wonder Woman out by $100 million because they're $100 million behind right now. And Wonder Woman is still in the top 20 films at the box office.
Right.
Going on 15 weeks now, which is like what? It's 4 months, 3 months, something like that.
16 weeks, 3 months, 4 months. Yeah, 4 months. Again, you got me doing math again.
So I know you thought Spider-Man was going to make more money than Wonder Woman. So did I. So, but Wonder Woman has proved to be good. And yeah, there's not much in the theater right now to really get a big, quick cash grab. I mean, what do we have coming up this coming week? We have Nothing. Leap, which is an animated movie. You have Birth of the Dragon, which is a hardcore R martial arts movie. You have All Saints, which is a drama, and then you have Good Time, which is like the dude from Twilight as a bad guy. I don't know if anything. Oh, well, one movie that might make number one, they're re-releasing Terminator 2 in the theater, but it's in 3D.
Yeah, it won't even break the top 10.
Yeah, I hope not, because nobody wants to see Terminator 2 Judgment Day in 3D ever.
Yeah, I mean, even the fact that it's back on the big screen may have a little bit of draw, but yeah, nobody wants to see it in 3D. And yeah, I mean, even though there's nothing else going on, I'd be surprised if it broke the top 10. Here's still going to be the surprise hit. And then I'm going to talk about Ghost House a little bit. All Saints is a faith-based film, and we all know that faith-based audiences flock like sheep to these sort of films. So the fact that it's getting huge promotions on religious radio, I think All Saints is going to do well. I think we're going to see that break into the top 10.
But it's only going to be released in like less than 800 theaters.
Right. So that's the only drawback, is the fact that it does have a minuscule amount of theaters. But if it does well, they'll roll it out again. So I think over time it's going to do fine, but again, I think because of the nature of that and just the audience that it has, it's going to do well. But everybody's been talking about Leap, too. I mean, Leap was supposed to come out, what, early summer? And then it got pushed back and pushed back? Was it even supposed to be late fall?
Yeah, I've been getting stuff for it for, like, ever. So I who knows what's happening with it.
So I know there's a lot of drive behind that, Weinstein Companies, and they're releasing it in a ton of theaters. So it could, as an animation film, do well. It's about a little girl who's, you know, been told by the Catholic nun that she just needs to let go of her dreams because they never come true. And she's like, well, I'm gonna hold on to it and become something great. And so, I don't know. It's got a little nice little story behind it, so it should be fine. But did you see Ghost House, the horror film? Did you watch
Ghost House? No, I did not. Is it good?
It is good. It's one of those that, you know, it's in that Thai culture where this American young couple go over there and they befriend the wrong people, and they end up getting possessed by this local witch who's, you know, part of folklore, and have to get rid of her. And so there's a nice little twist in it. So if you like horror films and you like that whole set in Japan and Thai and the Eastern kind of mysticism of witches and stuff, it's good. So it's very well done, very well acted, and so I would recommend it for the people who love the genre. But again, it is what it is. It might be one of those you just wait for video on demand, because I'm sure it'll be there soon.
There's also another movie coming out, if you can find it either on VOD or in theaters. It's from Wellgo USA. It's called The Villainess. And it's about a chick assassin who was born to kill. And then after the death of her mentor, she seeks kind of vengeance and takes on a bunch of people. So it's called The Villainess.
That's unique. I've never heard that premise before.
I know. It's like this new thing.
Overcoming adversity and revenging that which has taught you. Yeah, I don't know. That's a weird concept. Maybe we'll see more of those kind of movies.
So let's...
Not to be hating on The Villainess, I'm just saying.
No, but if you're not wanting to see a dumb animated movie or a...
What? You haven't even seen it and you're calling it dumb. Why are you calling it dumb? You haven't seen it.
Nobody wants to see it.
See, when you say things like that, I want it to do well. I want it to do well. I want it to be like, I want to tell all my friends to go see Leap, just because you're already bagging on it. I have no desire to see it, but that doesn't mean it's not good. And it's got a Kate McKenna is a voice in it. So
which one's Kate McKenna?
Did I say her name wrong? The one from Ghostbusters from Saturday Night Live.
Hogwash. I'm out.
What?
Just because of that. Yeah.
What?
I'm out. Terrible. Awful.
How can you not like Kate McKinnon?
She's terrible in pretty much everything.
You know what? Again, bitterness. Bitterness.
she was one of the
spewing streams of bitterness.
That Ghostbusters remake was awful all around, but she added
best comedy
a horrible layer to it. And then there's Office Christmas Party, and she was the worst part of that movie, too.
You know what? Sometimes I just don't. I don't know why. I don't know why.
I don't know why. I'm right. I don't know anything anymore.
And
you know this. Where are we going?
Now, I want to loop back around to the to the discussion about Spider-Man and Wonder Woman, because here's the deal. I didn't get to finish my thought earlier. The fact that we did, both of us thought Spider-Man was going to pass Wonder Woman, but only because it had such momentum, and I didn't know Wonder Woman was going to really stay in the theaters that long. I thought it was going to go out, and then Spider-Man would just be able to go on its own. But the fact that Wonder Woman's still bringing in money, even small amounts, it's just not going to catch it. And now that I see that happening, man, other than The Last Jedi, I don't know if anything's going to beat Wonder Woman this year.
Ooh.
I mean, we still got the new Thor movie. We have the new Justice League. We have some other things coming out, but I don't know if Last Jedi will even be able to beat because of all the Star Wars stuff that we've had going on.
Last Jedi will definitely beat Wonder Woman. Guaranteed beat Wonder Woman.
I feel a wager coming on.
Let's do a wager. I guarantee you within at least half the time, The Last Jedi will beat Wonder Woman.
What would be a good wager for that? I don't know. Yeah, there's no way it's going to. So we should do some kind of, one of us has to dress up like Wonder Woman and the other one has to dress up like Princess Leia or something and stand on a street corner.
Slave Leia.
Woman.
Yes.
Well, see, either one of those, do it? Win or lose, you're going to like it. So.
You want to do it?
Yeah, because I have no doubt that The Last Jedi is not going to beat Wonder Woman's money for 2017.
Let's do it. No. Last Jedi will beat it.
No, will not. All right, yes. So we got to mark this on the calendar, the show for the week of August 26th. This is the wager. All right, I'm going to write this down. That's me writing it down. we're gonna find out. So, there's no way. So we've got to take a small break. When we do come back, we're going to talk about Fantastic Fest, which one of us is going to and one of us wishes they were going to. We're going to talk about Blu-rays, DVDs, which there's some really cool stuff coming out. We're going to have some Tech Talk, which there's something coming up on Tech Talk this week that I didn't know about and I want to find out about because I'm really... I see this and I'm reading it even as it's on the run sheet and I can't believe it. I can't really wrap my mind around that this is what's going to happen. Plus, we're going to talk SummerSlam, which just give us a little hint. Don't maybe a 10-second blurb about SummerSlam. One adjective, and we're going to talk more about it because I want to see if I'm on board with you. One adjective about this year's SummerSlam.
A little above average.
That's a lot of words. I said one adjective.
Scrumptious.
All right, we're going to take a small break. Come back with more right here on the show.
This is The Mungle Show.
Welcome back to the show. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger with you always, bringing you great information that you just need to know about movies, entertainment, TV, video, Blu-ray, DVD, our opinions, which are high amongst opinions. So anyway, it's always good to break this down. Now, Fantastic Fest, this time last year, you and I were talking about it, and we said, we got to go. And you were like, Mungle, you got to go. And I just, again, it's coming around, and I'm not going to be able to make it down for Fantastic Fest 2017, which I'm really bummed about. But you're going, correct?
Of course I'm going. You should be going, too.
I know I should be. But, you know, of the two of us, one of us has responsibilities.
I've seen your responsibilities.
And they're huge.
I'm gonna miss you, man. I hopefully you can cover it on the screening room, but Fantastic Fest is one of the best film festivals in the world. It is better than Cannes. It's better than Sundance. It's better than Tribeca. It is just, it is so much fun. And it all takes place in Austin, Texas, at the famous Alamo Draft House on South Lamar. And it is a place where film fans can be film fans and love one another and schmooze and talk with other film fans that are actually celebrities and have a good time. And this year they announced their first wave, their first several films that they're going to be showing. And oh man, it's going to be an amazing year.
Yeah. And what I dig about Fantastic Fest, even though I've never been, but I've watched from the sidelines as people have gone, is the fact that they combine a lot of things. First of all, Alamo Draft House, they throw a party like no other movie theater in the world. So you have that combined with the lineup that Fantastic Fest chooses. They choose movies that would never make other film festivals because they're really fan-driven. And then the fact that it is like it breaks down that wall between fan and famous person. It's like everybody just co-mingles and just has a great time. Am I wrong about that?
No, it is. They do so much fun things. Like they have bands play. Like one of the bands that plays is called Itchio, and they are a satanic Mexican drum line every year, and it is so good. It's highly recommended to do it. But also, one of their opening night parties a few years ago, they had Eli Roth, otherwise known as the Bear Jew from Inglourious Basterds, come in dressed as the Bear Jew and beat a pinata with a bat. It was so good. And then they have sometimes a Christmas party in September. And of course, Yoles truly wore his light up Hanukkah sweater.
Of course.
And a Christmas hat, a Santa Claus hat, because, you know, the duality of man, sir. So I'm so excited.
Yeah, you know, it is one of the premier festivals, especially in Texas, because Austin's not too far from where we are and where we live. But no matter where you are, you should try to make it out. And Austin, too, I mean, take away all the other stuff from Fantastic Fest. The fact that it's in Austin, which is one of the coolest, vibiest cities, especially in Texas, is just another element that makes Fantastic Fest pretty fantastic. But I got to back up for a second to something you said. You said there's a satanic drum line, and I'm thinking as a drummer, as a percussionist, as a music major in high school, being on a drum line, going to college on a drum line scholarship, what in the world would make it satanic? They're playing drums. How do you play drums differently that makes it satanic?
So what you need to do is you have to go look them up.
I don't want to look them up.
See how they dress, see their songs, but they have like those Chinese dragons that have, you know, people under them going around the crowd. They come out in the crowd and they
dance. That doesn't make them Satanists.
Hey, I'm telling you, that's how it is. It's so good.
I'm not saying it's not good, but it's just, I don't know what about it would make it a satanic.
And they're all
drumline.
Like luchadors, so they're all masked.
Again, doesn't make them satanic.
That's what it is. It's what it is, man. It's badass. It's definitely worth it. They play every year there. They're from Colorado. Look them up. Itchio, ITCHY-O. They have a new album coming out, too.
Is the word Satanist on their website, or is that just an adjective you put on them? Because they have dragons and they have luchadors.
I'm actually going to go look at them. I'm going to go look at it right now, but I'm pretty sure.
I think anything that scares Brian, that it's a little odd, you call them Satanist or satanic. That's got to be a satanic drum line because they have dragons and luchadors. It's cracking me up.
I think so. if you look them up, if you just Google Itchio, take a look and just like prove me wrong.
All right. I'll look them up because unless I see the words on there, because I don't know if that's something you label them or they label them themselves. And if they label it themselves, that's still silly to me. That's like saying, yeah, my house was built by some satanic carpenters. What does that mean? It's
on
a hammer
Twitter,
and nails.
Itchio, your Denver-based percussion-centered electronic performance cult.
That's totally different than a satanic drum line. That's totally different.
I'm just saying, just like that's exactly what it is.
Oh, I love busting your chops. We're going to take another small break, come back and talk about something Brian does know a little about, and that's Blu-rays and DVDs and other stuff right here on the show.
This is The Mungle Show. This is The Mungle Show.
All right, speaking about this Satanist drumline, I mean,
it's like we didn't even take a break.
We're here. Because I'm trying to prove Matt wrong right now from Fantastic Fest. Itch.io is amazing. They got a satanic vibe, which is awesome. And they're a lot of fun, but they're like the coolest, nicest, greatest people ever. Maybe, I don't know.
I went to the website and I saw, I don't know how many adjectives, and none of them were, I mean, they all could be like, it could be a drumline from any fraternity. You could describe any fraternity in America with the same adjectives they used.
Oh, God.
Fun, provocative, untethered. Fun.
I'll just have to show you in person, Matthias. All right.
I'm gonna grab my drum and join them.
Speaking of, are we gonna do Blu-ray news right now?
Well, really quick, because I know I got off on a tangent about the drum line because I was just kind of floored by that. Really quick, do you have a lineup of films that are at Fantastic Fest? Maybe one or two that you're really excited about, and then we'll talk more about them next week.
Yeah, opening night film is Martin McDonagh's new film, which is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which is, you know, Martin McDonagh did In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths. So this is his new movie. And also you have Craig Zahler coming back to the screen with Brawl and Cell Block 99, which is a super violent film with Vince Vaughn and Don Johnson and Udo Kier. And then also, I can't wait, Yorgos Lanthimos' horror film, The Killing of a Sacred Deer. You know, he brought us The Lobster.
Right.
Very excited. Tons of other stuff, too, but we can get into it next week if you want to. But those three I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, over the next couple of weeks before we get into Fantastic Fest, we'll obviously be talking about it and giving you some other films to keep an eye on and find out more about that drumline. So, but Blu-rays, DVDs, stuff that you can just kind of kick back on your couch and watch this week. Some good stuff coming out, and one of them's on my list. I don't know which one's on your list.
Well, which one is on your list?
How long have you known me? Star Wars Rebels Season 3.
All right, Star Wars Rebels. Do you like those? Yeah. Do you like those shows?
It's Star Wars. I like anything with Star Wars. And I like how they do the Star Wars Rebels stuff. It's not like your just typical kid show. There's some humor there, and there's some really cool stuff that's part of the Star Wars universe. So, yeah, I dig it.
All right. So you got Star Wars Rebels Season 3. Pretty cool. Also on 4K UHD, as well as Blu-ray, you'll have the recent Baywatch remake with The Rock and Zac Efron and the beautiful Daddario. And then also on 4K, interestingly enough, Batman and Harley Quinn animated movie coming out in 4K.
Interesting.
Interesting. Baywatch is okay. It's all right. There's some special features on it. Also being re-released again in the signature series form, The Lion King animated movie is coming out. So if you missed it the last several million times, you can get it again. Lion King signature series. Also, if you like Stephen King movies and you don't have any of them yet, King of Horror Collection, the King of Horror Collection, which you get Stephen King's It, not the new one, but the old, you know, late right. 80s TV series. I believe The Cat's Eyes on there, Salem's Lot, and there's another one. Is it Christine? I can't remember.
Probably Christine.
But there are four movies. Also, there's a movie called Inconceivable coming out with Gina Gershon and Nicolas Cage. For you Nicolas Cage fans.
That wasn't in the theater very long.
No, it was not. Well, what Nicolas Cage movie is in the theater very long these days?
These days, Con Air.
Con Air, man.
That was not really these days.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Also, if you're into the TV show Gotham, Season 3 comes out on Blu-ray and DVD. Also, Disney's Born in China, which is about pandas.
Yeah, that's part of their Disney Nature series, right?
Yes, they're Disney Nature. So if you like pandas and little happy bears, you know, that is the one to get. Also, I have to get, if you're into like the sick and the depraved and the way out weird movies, from Severin, a movie called Two Female Spies with Flowered Panties is finally
only you would find this movie. Only you.
It's finally getting its Blu-ray release. Oh, my God.
Because you've been waiting how long?
very, very a lot. What is two female spies with flowered panties about? Well, it's about two girls who are given commuted prison sentences when they agree to help find a girl who was last seen before she disappeared on the Canary Islands. So they kind of, there's a lot of sex and stuff like that, which, you know, I like. I'm excited. Also, from Vinegar Syndrome, a movie you might want to check out if you've never heard of it. It's called Throat, 12 Years Later. And yes, this is made 12 years later after Deep Throat. It explores the lives of young married couples and their sex lives. Very excited. Are you getting excited over there, Matt?
I'm just wondering how your movie list and my movie list, I must be on a different distribution team. I must have a different set of distribution. But go ahead. It's all very interesting.
So, yeah, there's that. I mean, these ones you won't really be able to find a whole lot, but it is.
You should go to Brian's house.
Yeah, come over. Also, from Doppelganger, releasing The Summer of Fear, which was Wes Craven's, one of his first films. You know, Wes Craven did Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream. But this one is called Summer of Fear and stars, you know, a little older at the time, but still a relatively young Linda Blair, who was, you know, Reagan in the original Exorcist movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is it's really, really good. It's based on a novel and all sorts of fun stuff in that movie. And if you like Wes Craven, please check it out.
Yeah, and if you want something a little more mainstream, we got to remember that Alien Covenant just came out, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is still just ink not quite dry on that one as well, so that's out. Plus, there's My Cousin Rachel is another movie that comes out from, I think it's from Fox, this week, August 29th, and it's got Rachel Weisz in it, and it's kind of a period piece. I don't know if you saw that or not, but this is another one too, My Cousin Rachel, that has this kind of weird twisty element to it. So I would suggest that as well.
Yeah, that looks absolutely awful.
Oh my gosh. You know what?
Nobody wants
I don't talk bad about your movies. You talk about two female spies with flowered panties. I don't say, dude, I don't remember even heard of this movie.
Because you're interested in that. Nobody wants
to
see
something. No, I'm just letting you have your moment. But I talk about a movie that I see, and you're like, dude, it looks like the stupidest movie ever.
Yeah, well.
You have no excuse. You have no excuse.
I'm right.
I know you're watching Baywatch 4K anyway.
I like it.
Did you watch Baywatch in 4K?
I did.
And does it look good? I mean, is it crisp and clear and good? We got to take another small break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some tech stuff and a line item here that I'm really excited to find out about right here after this.
This is The Mungle Show. This is The Mungle Show.
And welcome back to the show. A very logical Matt Mungle, joined by a very out there and I don't know what to think about, Brian Kluger. You can find me at mungleshow.com. Find Brian over at boomstickcomics.com, as well as High Def Digest, where you can find all kind of tech news. Brian knows more about, or has forgotten more about tech stuff than I probably will ever know. And he's my go-to when I'm hooking stuff up. If I'm like, hey, I need some speakers, what do I need? I need a new 4K system, what do I need? He's the go-to guy, so that's always good. And so you put a line item on here under Tech Talk for this segment that I didn't know was coming, but I don't know if it's going to really help me at all now that I think about it. But I'm excited. Vudu is finally on Apple TV. When did that happen?
That happened maybe yesterday or 2 days ago.
Because Vudu is my go-to. That's what I watch all of my digital elements on, is Vudu. I don't use Apple TV. I mean, I use Apple TV, but I don't use iTunes as much for my digital copies. Even the ones from Sony and Disney, I link to Vudu. So Vudu is my go-to where all my digital stuff is stored. And the fact that it's now on Apple TV kind of makes me happy.
So yeah, so it's finally an app on Apple TV you can download and get all of your movies on Vudu, which is good for me because I'm an Apple person. I have Apple TV. I like iTunes. I hate ultraviolet digital copies. I want the iTunes. I want that copy, that iTunes digital copy. I do not want to.
There's no, but you can't get as iTunes digital as much as you can. Everything is on ultraviolet. Everything that you buy as a package is always ultraviolet. Very seldom can you put it on iTunes.
Correct, and it's a worse format. It sucks.
Why?
Sucks. It just does. It's gotten a little better since its first days.
Yeah, its inception, it was horrible. The whole setup between Ultraviolet and all that was horrible. But yeah, it's very solid now. I find very few issues with it.
But to get into like first world problems here, you know, for me, I have a Vudu library and I have an iTunes library. So I always use Apple TV and it's so easy to use. Mm-hmm. But then I would have to turn on, you know, my 4K player or my Xbox and, you know, get on to that system, which is worse than the Apple TV, and go to Vudu. But now download that Vudu app and you can, all your movies are right there too. Just have to open up another app and you just have to sign in and that's it. The one thing right now, since Vudu came out, you cannot purchase any movies on Vudu yet. Of course, since, you know, you're on Apple, they want you to purchase through iTunes. However, if you purchase them through other, you know, sources like on the internet or in another, like on your Xbox, they will transfer over to your Apple TV account. So it's awesome. That's what I'm really excited about that. So now I'm waiting for Amazon Prime to be on Apple TV, because that's happening later this year too, and we'll be all set. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, and I'm excited too, because like I said, I use Vudu, and like you, I watch everything through Apple TV. And then I had to buy a Roku stick simply so I could watch Vudu and Plex in the bedroom. So again, because everything was on Apple TV but Vudu, and all my digital stuff's on Vudu, I had to get a Roku just for that. So the fact that I could in theory do that, but I personally cannot. So I'm glad for everybody
Roku
else.
Throw that stick in the fire.
No, that's Amazon Fire.
No.
Ah, see what I did there?
Ah.
Yeah, but again, I can't do that. I'm happy for people like you, but people like me who got, and I love Apple, you know, I'm an Apple advocate. Everything I have, from my iPhone to my Apple sticker on my car, I'm a very devoted Apple person. I'm ticked off at the fact that when I bought my Apple TV, all four of them, which I bought four for one for each room, they didn't tell me that the new generation was going to give you the option of downloading apps. So all of my Apple TVs are the ones that are static, and you can't put new apps on it. You only get what was on there to start with. And that sort of hacked me off a little bit.
Well, they updated every once in a while. But yeah, you need to sell or just put one of those.
Nobody's going to buy one of those. Who's going to buy an older generation Apple TV?
You'd be surprised how many refurbished old ones are on the market that you
for people who just don't want to put new apps on there.
Yeah, just for somebody who just can't, you know, afford the new one yet, they'll just get this one.
So I'm going to put all four of them out there as a package. You can buy all four of them for $50.
Do it.
Then I might start buying the new generation. But now I'm worried from Apple TV that I want to buy the new Apple TV just so that I can get all the new apps on there, and then find out that, oh, well, the generation after this now washes your car for you. And now I'm stuck without the one that washes. You know what I mean? It's like,
you know what I mean, Vern?
Apple should let you trade those in. I should be able to send my old generations back to Apple with a $50 surcharge, and they upgrade me to the new Apple TV.
I guarantee you, if you bring your thing to the if you bring your Apple TV to the store, they'll might give you a little bit of money and refurbish it. I guarantee you.
So if I took it to my Apple store and I said, hey, I want to trade this puppy in on a new generation Apple TV, it's almost like taking your car in. They would give me a little bit of money for it?
Yep. Because on Apple's website, they even sell refurbished stuff.
Oh, I know. Most of my MacBook stuff I have always bought refurbished. You can't beat it, man. Yeah. Refurbished Mac stuff is like impeccable, and it's a better. So I understand buying refurbished, but I don't know if they would just turn around and give me money for an old one.
Yeah, no, definitely you're going to want to get that new Apple TV. It's worth it.
No, I agree. And that's on my list now to do, simply because things like Plex and now Vudu and other apps that you just can't upgrade your Apple TV if you have the older generation. So, so enough of me venting about that. So, right. Michael Jackson, born August 29th. Favorite Michael Jackson music videos and songs, as an easy one.
Thriller is probably one of the best music videos ever made, for sure. Smooth Criminal off the Bad album was a dang good video. Well, also Bad off the Bad album.
Yeah, Bad was its own little movie. Michael Jackson.
Well, so was Thriller.
Yeah, the songs off that Thriller album, I mean, thank goodness for MTV coming out, being there for Thriller. I don't know if Thriller would have done as well had MTV not existed. the songs are good, but the videos, man, they were like little tiny movies. They were amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Bad, he called his music videos short films, but Martin Scorsese directed Bad, the mm-hmm. short film mm-hmm. music video. And it starred Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
We'll take another small break, come back, and compare our notes about SummerSlam on the recap right here on the show.
This is The Mungle Show. This is The Mungle Show.
And welcome back. You have reached the portion of our show that is all about steel cage matches and hardcore belts and sweaty guys and girls getting in each other's faces. We're talking about pro wrestling with Matt Mungle and Brian Kluger. Oh my God. SummerSlam 2017, Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays Center. Matthias was tweeting and loving it and texting me about SummerSlam. I can't wait to find out his thoughts.
Are you one of them now?
Yeah.
I thought it was a little boring.
Thought it was a little boring.
I did. I mean, I went out and got the subscribed to the WWE account so I could watch all the stuff, and I was really excited about SummerSlam. I know, obviously, from doing the show every week, I was kind of in, but I don't know. I found myself checking out a lot. There were a couple of good matches, a lot of belts turned over, but eh.
That's what I said. There's maybe three or four matches that were worthy of your time out of the 13 matches that happened. One of them was the final match, the Fatal 4-Way match for the Universal Championship between Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, and Braun Strowman, which, you know what, I've been saying for weeks I thought Braun Strowman was going to win this. Brock Lesnar retained his championship. And you know what I think why? It's because he wanted to get back in the UFC, and his opponent, who was supposed to be his opponent, got found that he was doing steroids and he cannot fight for several months. So I think Brock Lesnar is choosing to stay in WWE for the time being and be the champ, and most likely so that Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman can fight at WrestleMania or Survivor Series.
All right. I mean, that's a good theory. And yeah, it was, you know, that was a good match. There was another one that I enjoyed with I don't remember now who it was, but it was like, I don't know. I just felt like there was a lot of stuff in between that it's almost like it didn't have. I wanted maybe, and maybe I was expecting too much because, you know, the last event I went to live was WrestleMania here in Dallas, and I kind of wanted that energy. And, oh, I know. So, my favorite one was with the Lantern guy.
Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor.
Yeah, that was a really cool match. There was a lot of really cool graphics going on. There was a cool side note and, you know, this whole evil versus evil and his evil side coming out. And it was like a, you know, his inner beast coming out to wrestle. And I like Bray Wyatt. He's like one of my favorite guys. And I don't know why. I guess he reminds me of my relatives, but something about him just kind of gravitates to me. But yeah, that was probably my favorite match.
All right, yeah, that was a good match. Also a good match was the Usos versus the New Day. Also a pretty good match. That was a really good AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens. AJ Styles won. It was a fun, if not a little better than average pay-per-view usually. The Shinsuke Nakamura, of course, we predicted that it was going to end in basically Jinder Mahal winning over him by way of cheating because nobody can beat Shinsuke Nakamura. It's a good show. They do well. But again, if you're watching these pay-per-views, especially SummerSlam or WrestleMania, they're 4 to 5 hour long pay-per-views. So that can get very tedious and tiresome. I get it. Most pay-per-views are 3 hours long. It's more concise and tight.
Yeah. But overall it wasn't bad. It was good. It was just, all right, I'll take it.
Well, once you start watching Raw and SmackDown, I think you'll really get into the storylines more.
I kind of have enough storyline to know what's going on. It's just, I just want more. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like if you watch it, you're going to be like a blind man in an orgy. You're going to have to feel your way through.
Well, that might be fun.
So are you going to watch more? Have you checked anything else out on the WWE network that you...
You know, I don't want to rag on, because I love what the WWE does. I think they're, the way they promote, the way they build things, the way that they have their structure is amazing. I just haven't got in their app and moved around enough to really know what's going on.
Yeah,
all right. We appreciate you guys being with us every week. Again, check me out at mongolshow.com. You can find Brian at boomstickcomics.com, plus High Def Digest as well. And we'll be back next week to talk more about Fantastic Fest, more Blu-rays, more movies right here on the show.
This is The Mongol Show.